singing number 918 to encourage anyone that needs to do anything in their lives. But as always, at any time during this assembly, if you have a need that you would like to take care of, you can raise your hand. We certainly would be happy to do that. Roger, I'm certain, smiled at that last song talking about the snow. So it actually put snow in a good light in that song, so maybe it was okay. One's conduct in the house of God. Taught a lesson a couple weeks ago about the mystery of godliness. And I talked about the basis of conduct is certainly our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He talks about that and he discusses it thoroughly, and he talks about the fact that all of those things are proofs that he was who he was and that he behaved in a certain way, that he certainly wanted to do that. And that's what Paul said he wrote to instruct Timothy about, is how we should behave or conduct ourselves in the house of God. So we're going to continue that theme today. First, I want to put this reminder up from the New King James Version. It says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, we talked about that conduct that he's talking about is exhibited in the house of God. Now, I want to say a couple things about this. A little different than what I talked about before, because we're changing kind of the course of the way we're going with this. So when we think about this, he's not talking about just when we assemble together. He's talking about how we conduct ourselves as Christians, period. We are in the house of God regardless. When I lived at home with my parents, I was a part of that household. And the way I conducted myself reflected on that household. I was told there's a certain way you conduct yourself. It's interesting. I don't know if they do this in school anymore. Probably haven't for years. But there used to actually be something on there about how you behaved or your conduct, and you got a certain grade for that. Because they considered conduct very important. And if you didn't conduct yourself well, I will guarantee that when you went home, if your parents cared about you, you learned to conduct yourself a little bit better than you had before. What God is saying is you understand the principle behind this. You know that there's a behavior you should have. The reason is because, as we discussed in class this morning, all of this belongs to God. It's all His. It's not ours. It's not our choice to figure out how we're going to conduct ourselves. He didn't leave it up to us no more than my parents left it up to me. When I got away from them sometimes, I did not behave very well. When they found out, I learned that there are conditions to me behaving well, and they weren't always pleasant, what I received as a result of not behaving well. Again, this is not a physical building or house. It's a spiritual house that a Christian is in 24/7. It's a part of the family of God. These are just reminders of what we talked about. But he says, I want to make this very clear. This house of God that I'm talking about, it is the church of the living God. When we look at the Bible, there are several terms used for this group that's been called out, the church. These happen to be two of them. He's trying to get us to understand who we are, according to him. That is, those that are called out by the living God, we find out that Jesus Christ is the builder of it in Matthew 16:18. We find out from this text that the house of God, this church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. That is, we as a whole, not just individuals here at Waynesville, but throughout the world, we are the pillar and support of the truth. There is no other pillar and support of the truth other than those that have been called out. People that have not been called out are not going to stand for what is right. As we talked about this column or support, and they both have very similar meanings and could be actually translated the same way. Pillar, ground, he wants to put double emphasis on this. He wants us to understand how we need to act and behave, both individually and collectively. And then he talks about we are not just pillars and ground of anything, we are pillars and ground of the truth. Not a truth, not a semblance of the truth, but the truth, period. What is the truth? Well, we certainly know that the Jesus said there are the things that belong to God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how can we know? Well, we talked about insulting the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace gave us this. We can know how to live, and we need to understand that. So the church is the great support and stay of the truth. With all that said, though, what do we do with that? Well, we learn how to conduct ourselves. Now, this word is sometimes translated in other versions as behave or live or abide or conversation in some of the older versions because they understood what that word meant to them. And it's discussed a lot in the New Testament. There are more than one Greek word that's translated this way, one that's mostly translated this way, but this shows the need to look at God's Word to determine how to behave. If He said, I want you to know how, and it was so important that He wrote to a preacher of the gospel, Timothy, and was explaining to him how to behave, that tells us a lot. Preachers need to know how to behave, as well as everyone else. So as Christians, though, this is not, oh, it kind of tells me how to do certain things in certain aspects of my life. He says, no. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We are in the house of God every day of our lives. If we could get this concept down and if we understood that how we behave reflects on God, we would understand what we've done. We would understand that when they look at us and they understand that we assemble at Waynesville, that reflects on this group, whatever we might do or not do. So he's basically telling how in and out of the assembly. Now, in this first one, I want to talk about just basically some rules of conduct. If we need to know how to behave, what are some principles or some rules that we could look at? Well, we already talked about this. It is based on that perfect sacrifice, that perfect being, that perfect one, Christ. Many scriptures in the Bible talk about this. It talks about the fact that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one we should look to. Jesus is that one that never sinned, according to Peter. So, if I'm going to conduct myself, did you ever like it in school or in home when someone said to you, I wished you behaved more like... Now, that's like a slap in your face, isn't it? You're thinking... Wait just a second. I know that person. They're not doing all that well. Or a teacher would use an example of someone as, I wish people would be more like. Well, they did that because they felt this person was doing better than you. Well, with Jesus, it's not that at all. It is a total perfect example of a being who lived on this earth that we can look to, and every one of us should be like Him. Well, wait, we can't. He said, well, you better give it your best shot. He's the example you need to look to, and He's the one you need to follow. I will take nothing less than that, but I can't do that. Well, then we understand, of course. He died then to save us from what we won't do, not can't do. It's our fault. It's not His. We have that perfect example. And it's all based on holiness. It's the idea of living this moral life, of living it in a way that's pleasing to God. It has to do with the fact that we need to make sure that everything we do in life is not unholy. If we just look at things and we think about them, I guess I'm getting more and more shocked, I don't know about the rest of you, at how people look at this. The standard has almost gone to zero, and sometimes I think it's below zero. And it amazes me because you know, and I know that they know better even if they didn't have God's Word. We're going to reach a point just like they did around the time that Christ was on this earth, like the Romans lived, where everything was okay pretty much. There was nothing that was wrong. And guess what happens when the nations, like the Jewish nation and the Roman nation at that time, look what happens to the rest of the people. And look how it affects religious people. You have to believe today, and you have to know today, that we have not and do not always follow this rule of conduct. We don't put holiness where it belongs. We don't make it what it needs to be. We allow little things to come in. We start excusing things, and, oh, that one's okay. And well, the world's saying that, so let's... If you don't think this happens, even among God's people, look at the Word of God and look at us today. And look what is right today versus what was right 50 years ago? Is it because we are become enlightened and now all of those things are okay? Or is it because we determined not to follow rules of conduct? Because we didn't understand about holiness. And let me tell you, this is again not some example. He didn't put Abe, look at Abe and follow that one. Be holy even as Abe is holy. He never said that. You will not make it on that basis. He tells them in 1 Peter 1, starting with verse 13, that they need to do something. Gird up the loins of their mind. You need to tighten that up. Don't loosen it up. Don't start approving of everything. Tighten it up. And it goes on, obedient children. You need to obey. Not conforming yourself to the former lusts. Oh, but those things are okay now. No, they're not. Times change, Abe. You're just some old fogey. No, I'm not. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. Nothing has changed. But if He called you to be holy in all of your conduct because it is written, be holy for I am holy. When my dad said to me, Abe, if you don't do that, I'll wear you out, was one of his popular phrases when you get home. I knew what that meant. If I didn't follow that rule of conduct, I realized there's punishment involved. And that's what we need to be aware of. This is not some let's smooth it over. And there's no consequences to this. And that people of the world are doing it, and why aren't we doing it? We better be very careful. Because we need to have a strong reverence for God. We need to understand as best we can who He is. He is not Cody running his family. He's not Cody being head over his family. It's God. Cody can make the rules as he chooses in his family. But he's not God. God is the one that's holy. God is the one we better have some reverence and fear for. God is the one that can actually do things. The most my dad could ever do, honestly, was take my life. That's the most. Think about that for a moment. Just take my physical life. He could have done that. When I was little, it would be very easy for him to do that. Now, my dad wouldn't have considered that at all. I'm not even saying that. The most he ever did was punish me for my sins to him, if you will. My transgressions. The things that I did that violated his rules, and he had them because he believed in God. He always told me, I'm doing this because when you get older, you're going to have a father that you better respect. The most I can get for you is hope for your respect, but you better respect and reverence him. I don't think we fully have this. I'm 60-something years old. I can't even remember. And the problem is with this is it's still hard for me. I don't see him. He hasn't come down and done anything to me that I can see. But he says, I'll tell you what, Abe. You don't do what I say. There's not going to be any reward. There's going to be eternal punishment. You better reverence me. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality, oh, God loves me. He chose me out, you know. No, no. That's not the way this works. According to each one's work. Conduct yourself. Roger has works to do. I have works to do. His may be different than mine. He may have differing responsibilities than mine, but I'll tell you what, we'll both answer to the same Father. He will not be answering to Roger Sr. I will not be answering to Abe Martin Jr. I'll be answering to God. And he says, so as a result of that, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, God doesn't want us to fear Him when we become His children in that sense. He wants us to deeply revere Him. Show people that when you talk to them, you don't take the credit, you don't do any of this, you do reverence Him. And it better not be aimless. And you notice a lot of these are found in 1 Peter. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. You see the difference between good conduct, conduct that is prompted by reverence for God, and conduct that understands that He's holy and I need to be holy? I have to have some direction. And he said, you've been given direction. But I got to tell you right now, that direction did not come from the traditions of their fathers, and it better never be on the traditions of men here. Because men choose things. I was reading something the other day, and a group decided totally to change everything. You know why? Well, because the world now is accepting this, and we need to accept this. Wow, that's a good one. That's a good one. It must be honorable before all. In 1 Peter 2, verse 12. He had talked about, again, being sojourners. We've got to understand it's a temporary life here. We don't live here forever. If we lived here forever, it wouldn't make any difference, would it? Because we would never die and we never suffer anything, or we wouldn't receive an reward after this life. But he says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners again and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul." So he's doing it again. Have your conduct right. Get away from all these things. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Talking of these Jews that were Christians, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Have you ever had someone that you knew disagreed with you, and you're discussing the Bible with them, but because of your good conduct, they appreciated what you said, and they said something to you about it, and they said, "I appreciate the life that you're living"? And it must never be centered around covetousness. This idea of what I can get out of this and what it's all about, and wow, you know, let's look at all these things, and we need to be very careful about this. This is always a warning throughout the New Testament. It is so easily to get trapped by, I got some reward here. So, you know, if you just pay me, I'll preach what you want to hear. I'll tickle your ears, or I'll live my life a certain way because, you know what, and I've said this so many times and I won't pull it out, but you take a dollar bill, as my dad used to say, and you put it over what you're trying to read in the Bible, and it's very hard. It is very difficult to read the Bible. And that's our problem. We need to not center ourselves around the things of this life. And he says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't desire things that you shouldn't have. And be content with such things as you do have. That's it. Contentment versus covetousness. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Boy, that's one thing I do covet, don't you? I want him never to leave me or forsake me. And all of this is founded on the meekness of wisdom, that we need to understand that wisdom does not come from this earth. That when we look at wisdom and we think about it and we hear these people who are, wow, they'll just go on and on and on about things that we might turn it on and they'll just, and it's all their words, you notice, and they never use what God says. He says with this, verse 13 of James 3, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Then he goes on to say, there are some things that are not in the meekness of wisdom, such as bitter envy, self-seeking, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So, what we understand that our conduct, we will show it by works, and people, when they look at them, will understand it's done in the meekness of wisdom, not mine, but God's. How powerful is this? Well, in 1 Peter 3, it is shown that you can win over someone. In this case, he's using the wife who's a Christian, the husband who's not, and he clearly says in this, "Likewise, you wives, be in submission to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." Question. Just use this as a principle. If you're trying to win someone over, and I still remember this about a gentleman that I knew. He was trying to win someone over. I knew about his life. I went up and talked to him about it after I heard him talking to this other person, and I had to. because his life did not even come close to matching what he's telling this other person. Now, what he was telling them was the truth, but his life didn't match it. It's hard to win someone over when you're doing something totally different from what you're telling them. If you have a parent that says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and they're constantly doing that, kind of doesn't work real well. And he says it'll be even to the point of shaming others. In 1 Peter 3:16, he talks about in verse 15 how we need to put God in our hearts, sanctify or set Him apart in our hearts, be ready to give a defense. Then he goes on and he says that we need to do that again with meekness and fear, not haughtiness and not looking down on people, because I have nothing to look down on people about. Then he says, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. When we were studying the parables, or the Beatitudes, you noticed one of the things he said there, that it better not be right about you. It has to be a lie. If they're persecuting you, don't let it be right. Because anything that you're doing right, in reality, they can't persecute you for that. Because what are they going to say to you? Well, what they're going to say to you is, I don't like what you're doing, you make me feel bad, or something along those lines. But they can't say, well, what you're saying or what you're doing is wrong according to God's will. So we certainly can do that. And this word is a different word than we've been studying, but in Philippians 1:27, a word from the Greek that is also translated conversation or life, that or conduct or behavior. Only let your conduct be as becomes the gospel of Christ, or be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you, Paul said, or be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He goes on to say, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Only let your conduct be, or your life be, worthy of the gospel of Christ. We find that all of these things are true. I did not include all of the things that are mentioned, but when we go back and look at these things, we see there's a lifetime of the way to live that we need to understand this. And it better be based on the right things, or we will answer to God. We have been discussing conduct and Bible rules for conduct. In the next lesson, we're going to talk about some things that Paul says are improper conduct in the house of God. And we need to learn from those as well. If we want God to be pleased with our conduct, we must obey His Word. I would say clearly to each one of you, today understand, if you want to conduct yourself well, just like in the home, you'll do what Christ asks. You'll become a child of God. You'll be obedient to His will. If you have any needs, we would be certainly happy to assist you. Please stand.